All right, Genesis chapter 16. Let's see, Nathan, why don't you find Mark 9:24? We're in Genesis chapter 16. But look at Mark 9:24 and read that for us, Nathan.
Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
All right, so no matter how much faith you have, you're always going to be battling with some amount of unbelief. And as much faith that Abraham had, he also had some unbelief. And these are the fruits of unbelief. You know, there's fruits of living by faith, and then there's results of living without faith. And here's a little bit of an example of it. It's a very big example. In the introduction, there are some very important lessons in this chapter that we as Christians should learn and apply to our lives when we find ourselves in the very same type of situations as Abram and Sarai. Here we're going to learn how Abram went in unto Hagar and she became his second wife. Also, we learn that once the act was over and she was with child, all was not rosy in Abram's tent. Not waiting on the Lord will always bring trouble. Impatience. Just as not asking the Lord what his will is for us to do. Abram finds this out the hard way by thinking he could help out God. God doesn't need our help. He only needs our hearts and our wills. Number B, Genesis 15, Abram is known as a man of faith, for he believed the Lord, the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 16, instead of hearkening to the voice of the Lord, he listened to his wife. So, here's a summary of the compromise. Sarah persuades Abram to father a child through her Egyptian maiden girl, Hagar. Notice the word maiden is going to show up, which always implied a virgin, not just an unmarried girl. All the new Bibles come to Isaiah 7:14, which uses the word Alma, which is a Hebrew word for maiden. And Jesus translates that into Greek as virgin, but the Hebrews would say, no, it just means a maiden, an unmarried girl. Well, it just boggles the mind that people would have a problem with the word Alma being a virgin when everybody expected an unmarried girl to be a virgin. They just didn't want to accept that that was a miracle in Isaiah 7:14. The Hebrews, the Jews, don't like Isaiah 7:14 because it predicts a miracle that they don't want to look for, which would be a virgin-born son. Yes, sir.
So, Alma, is that a Hebrew word?
That's a Hebrew word.
A-L-M.
You ever heard of the Alma Mater?
I was just going to ask
yes.
You. What does that mean?
Well, it comes out to mean my dear old mother, or my dear mother, mi Alma Mater. That's the mother meaning the source of my learning. That's what they're. That's why they talk about my alma mater is mater alma, my maiden mother, and it just is, it's just a weird way that the Catholics have talked about how you get education.
All right, just when you were talking about alma virgin and alma mater,
I know. Well, okay.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, all right.
That's good enough.
So. They then would adopt this child as their own. That was their idea. Hagar became pregnant, and her arrogant attitude, she gets arrogant, soon causes trouble, resulting in her dismissal from Abram's household by Sarai. This one verse alone refutes the doctrine of polygamy. God permitted it, but never approved it. Hagar was found by the angel of the Lord beside a desert spring and was commanded to return to Abram and Sarai. The sex, which was male, and the name Ishmael of her unborn child was prophesied by the angel. This is the first mention of the angel of the Lord. Should fill in for number four. Some theologians believe that that when this title is found in the Old Testament, it is actually identifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tend to believe that in almost all situations. I found a few where it doesn't seem like it is the Lord. Sometimes it's the angel of the Lord. Sometimes it's an angel of the Lord. And trying to put your finger exactly on it gets a little troublesome. So usually I believe it is referring to a pre-incarnate Christ. Number five, Hagar does not fare well in the Bible, for she possesses little or no spirituality. She is brazen, hateful, proud, disrespectful, and a very poor mother. Yet God loves her and sends his blessed messenger even to help her. So Ishmael is born, and Abram was 86 years old at the time. So here's our lesson. Let's read 1 to 3. John, if you'll read 16, 1 to 3.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife.
What a thing. I mean, that's messed up. In this modern age, it's not so messed up anymore. What girls get guys to do, and what guys let girls get them to do. I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was watching girls get guys to put these diamond rings into their ears. It was not a guy's idea to put a ring in his ear. It was his girlfriend's idea. And what further thing was that girl going to get him to do? Now, the barrenness and the birth of Ishmael is your fill-in. The events of chapter 16 take place about 10 years after the events of 15. Sarai is still barren. Her inability to conceive is one reason she uses to justify giving her handmaid to Abram. Notice how she feels like she's the victim here. The Lord has restrained me. The Lord is against me. Here, why don't you do this and let's get this over with? That's a victim mentality. That's a mentality that says, I want to get out of this problem. So she uses the fact that she's barren as a reason to sin. Number two, Hagar, the servant, is Egyptian. And she's added to the household, and she was added to the household while they were back in Egypt. So they picked her up. They probably picked up lots of servants. Mm-hmm. Sarai yielded to the Eastern custom of multiple wives. It was not that it was unusual. You know, I've got so much I could preach on. You know, the culture out here, the culture in our world can change. And a Christian feels pulled to say, well, you know, nobody thinks it's wrong if I were to do X, Y, and Z. And instead of us trusting in the culture to help keep us from sin, we now have to trust in the commandments to keep us from sin. And the culture was, everybody had multiple wives. So it wasn't that they, you know, here's Sarah, and she's walking with her husband, and to have another wife with Abraham would not have been seen as wrong or sinful. So they didn't have outward pressure, and most of us need outward pressure. We need church to keep us, you know, sort of straight and narrow. We need godly